Chapter 28, Engine Removal and Disassembly. Engine Repair Options. Technician and Owner Decision. The decision to repair an engine should be based on all the information about the engine that is available to the service technician and the vehicle owner. In some cases, the engine might not be worth repairing. It is the responsibility of the technician to discuss the advantages and disadvantages of the different repair options with the customer. The customer, who is paying for the repair, must make the final decision on the reconditioning procedure to be used. The repair might involve replacing a worn component instead of reconditioning. The decision will be based on the recommendation of the service technician. Repair options: most customers want to spend the least amount of money possible, so they have only the faulty component repaired. This is the correct procedure in many cases. Examples of component repairs include component replacement. Timing chain replacement is an example of a component repair due to wear that can cause a loss of engine performance. If testing indicates that the timing chain has excessive slack, the front of the engine can be disassembled and the actual slack measured. Usually a slack of 0.5 inch, or 13 mm, or more indicates that the timing chain and gears need to be replaced. See Figure 28.1. Valve job. Valve leakage is corrected by doing a valve job. This does not necessarily correct the customer's concerns, however. Stopping valve leakage improves manifold vacuum. After completing a valve job, the greater manifold vacuum may draw the oil past worn piston rings and into the combustion chamber during the intake stroke, causing oil consumption to increase. Figure 28.1: a worn timing sprocket that resulted in a retarded valve timing and reduced engine performance. Minor overhaul. A minor overhaul can usually be done without removing the engine from the chassis. It requires removal of both the head and the oil pan. The overhaul is usually done when the engine lacks power, has poor fuel economy, uses an excessive amount of oil, produces visible tailpipe emissions, runs rough, or is hard to start. It is still only a repair procedure. Parts normally replaced include the piston rings, rod bearings, and gaskets, as well as a valve job. Other engine problems may be noticed after the oil pan is removed and the piston and rod assemblies are taken out. The customer should be informed about any other engine problem, in order to authorize the service that the engine requires. In the high-performance industry, this procedure is called freshening the engine. Major overhaul. A complete engine reconditioning job is called rebuilding. Sometimes, this type of reconditioning is called a major overhaul. To rebuild the engine must be removed from the chassis and be completely disassembled. All serviceable parts are reconditioned to either new or service standards. All bearings, gaskets, and seals are replaced. When the reconditioning is done properly, a rebuilt engine should operate like a new engine. Short block. The quickest way to get a vehicle back in service is to exchange the faulty engine for a different one. In an older vehicle, the engine may be replaced with a used engine from a salvage yard. In some cases, only a reconditioned block, including the crankshaft, rods, and pistons, is used. This replacement assembly is called a short block. The original heads, valve train, oil pump, and all external components are reconditioned and used on the short block. Long block. The replacement assembly is called a long block when the reconditioned assembly includes the heads and valve train. Many automotive machine shops maintain a stock of short and long blocks of popular engines. Usually, the original engine parts, called the core, are exchanged for the reconditioned assembly. The core parts are reconditioned by the automotive machine shop and put back in stock for the next customer. Crate engines. Crate engines are new engines built by the engine manufacturer and sold through vehicle dealers. See Figure 28.2. Remanufactured engines. Some engines are remanufactured and can be replaced in a day or two, greatly reducing the amount of time the customer is without a vehicle. The engine cores are completely disassembled, and each serviceable part is reconditioned with specialized machinery. Engines are then assembled on an engine assembly line, similar to the original manufacturer's assembly line. The parts that are assembled together as an engine have not come out of the same engine. The remanufactured engine usually has new pistons, valves, and lifters, together with other parts that are normally replaced in a rebuilt engine. All clearances and fits in the remanufactured engine are the same as in a new engine. A remanufactured engine should give service as good as that of a new engine, and it will cost about half as much. Remanufactured engines usually carry a warranty. This means they will be replaced if they fail during the period of the warranty. They may even cost less than a rebuilt engine, because much of the reconditioning is done by specialized machines rather than by expensive skilled labor. Refer to Figure 28.2, A crate engine from Chrysler to be used in a restored muscle car. Using a complete new engine costs more than rebuilding an existing engine, but it has a warranty and uses all new parts. Engine removal. Check service information. Whenever any engine-related work is being performed, always print out the specified procedure as published in service information to avoid doing any harm to the vehicle or the engine. Usual engine removal procedures. The procedures that are usually specified include: remove the hood. Removing the hood allows easier access to all of the components around the engine. Store the hood in a place where it will not be damaged. Some technicians place a fender cover on the roof of the vehicle and then place the hood upside down on top of the fender cover. Clean the engine area. The engine exterior and the engine compartment should be cleaned before work is begun. Using a power washer is the most commonly used way to clean the engine compartment area. A clean engine is easier to work on, and the cleaning not only helps to keep dirt out of the engine, but also minimizes accidental damage from slipping tools. Disconnect the negative battery cable, and remove the battery from the vehicle if it could interfere with the removal of the engine. Remove the air cleaner assembly. Remove the hoses and other components of the air intake system. Mark or bag and tag all fasteners. Remove all accessories. Those that usually need to be removed include the alternator, engine-driven fan, and air pump, if equipped. Drain the coolant. Draining coolant from the radiator and the engine block helps reduce the chance of coolant getting into the cylinders when the cylinder head is removed. Dispose of the used coolant properly. Remove the radiator. Disconnect the transmission oil cooler lines and radiator hoses from the radiator. Removing the radiator helps provide room for moving the engine during removal and helps prevent the possibility of damage. Disconnect the exhaust system. On some engines, it may be easier to remove the exhaust manifolds from the cylinder heads, whereas on others, it may be easier to disconnect the exhaust pipe from the manifolds. Recover the air conditioning refrigerant. Set the air conditioning compressor aside and do not open the system unless absolutely necessary. If the air conditioning system has to be opened to remove components, the system must be evacuated. Tape or cover all open refrigerant fittings and hoses to prevent contaminants from entering the AC system. Check service information for the exact procedures to follow. Remove the power steering pump. Remove the fasteners to the power steering pump and set aside the pump and hoses. Drain the engine oil. Draining the engine oil and removing the oil filter also helps prevent fluid loss during the removal process. Disconnect fuel lines. Disconnect and plug all fuel supply and return lines. Disconnect wiring and vacuum hoses. Mark and remove all vacuum hoses and electrical wiring attached to the engine. Tech tip. A picture is worth a thousand words. Take pictures with a cell phone camera, digital camera, or a video camcorder of the engine being serviced. These pictures will be worth their weight in gold when it comes time to reassemble or reinstall the engine. It is very difficult for anyone to remember the exact location of every bracket, wire, and hose. Referring back to the photos of the engine before work was started will help you restore the vehicle to like-new condition. Procedure for engine removal. There are two ways to remove the engine. 1. The engine can be lifted out of the chassis with the transmission/transaxle attached. 2. The transmission/transaxle can be separated from the engine and left in the chassis. The method to be used must be determined before the engine is removed from the vehicle. Rear-wheel drive vehicle. The removal procedure for most rear-wheel drive vehicles includes the following steps. Step 1. Under the vehicle, remove the drive shaft, or propeller shaft, and disconnect the exhaust pipes. Also remove the engine, or motor, mounts. In some installations, it may be necessary to loosen the steering linkage idler arm to give clearance. The transmission controls and wiring need to be disconnected at the connectors, and clutch linkages disconnected and labeled. Step 2. Attach a sling, either a chain or a lift cable, to one of the following. Factory installed lifting hooks. Intake manifold, or cylinder head bolts on top of the engine. An engine lift hoist chain or cable is attached and snugged to take most of the weight. This leaves the engine resting on the mounts. Note, for the best results, use the factory installed lifting hooks that are attached to the engine. These hooks are used in the assembly plant to install the engine and are usually in the best location to remove the engine. Step 3. Remove the rear cross member, and lower the transmission. Cover the extension housing with a plug or a plastic bag to help prevent the automatic transmission fluid from leaking during the removal process. If the engine alone is being removed, the transmission retaining bolts and torque converter fasteners will need to be removed. Check service information for exact procedures to follow when removing an automatic transmission. Step 4. The front of the engine must come almost straight up as the transmission slides from under the floor pan. The engine and transmission are hoisted free of the automobile, swung clear, and lowered on an open floor area. See Figure 28.3. Tag tip. Tag and bag. All components and fasteners should be marked for future reference. Large components should be marked or a tag installed that identifies the part. Smaller parts and fasteners should be placed in plastic bags and labeled as to what they are used for, such as the water pump bolts. Front-wheel drive vehicle. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow to remove the engine from a front-wheel drive vehicle. Depending on the vehicle, the engine could be removed from the top or lowered and removed from underneath on many front-wheel drive vehicles. Typical steps include: Step 1. Disconnect units that might interfere with engine removal, including the steering unit, engine electrical harness, and radiator. Step 2. If removing the engine from underneath, the upper strut and lower engine cradle fasteners will have to be removed. Step 3. Disconnect the torque converter and bell housing bolts and clutch linkage, if required. Step 4. Often special holding fixtures are required to help hold the transaxle in place while removing the engine. See Figures 28.4 and 28.5. Refer to Figure 28.3, an engine must be tipped as it is pulled from the chassis. Refer to Figure 28.4, when removing just the engine from a front-wheel drive vehicle, the transaxle must be supported. Shown here is a typical fixture that can be used to hold the engine, if the transaxle is removed, or to hold the transaxle, if the engine is removed. Refer to Figure 28.5, the entire cradle, which included the engine, transaxle, and steering gear, was removed and placed onto a stand. The rear cylinder head has been removed to check for the root cause of a coolant leak. Engine disassembly. Mounting the engine on a stand, engines should be installed to a sturdy engine stand. For safety, always check the following. Always use at least 4 grade 8 bolts when mounting an engine to an engine stand. Using low-quality non-graded bolts, or fewer than 4 bolts, can cause the engine to fall. Also, check to ensure that the proper threads of bolts are being used. Some engines use fractional threads, whereas others use metric threads. Install the bolts so that at least 1/2 inch, or 13 millimeters, of thread is engaged in the back of the engine to ensure that the fasteners are securely attached to the engine block. Check that the engine is properly balanced on the engine stand before work is started on the engine. See Figure 28.6. Disassembling a cam and block, OHV, engine. Check service information for the specified engine disassembly procedure. Read, understand, and follow all safety instructions. Following are the usual steps involved. Step 1. Engines should be cold before disassembly to minimize the chance of warpage of the components that are being removed. Step 2. Removal of the rocker arm covers gives the first opportunity to see inside a part of the engine. Examine the rocker arms, valve springs, and valve tips for obvious defects. Remove the rocker arms and pushrods and, if they are to be reused, place them in a location so that the rockers and the pushrods can be installed back to their original location. See Figure 28.7. Step 3. Remove the intake manifold bolts and lift off the manifold. Use care to avoid damaging the parting surface as the gasket is loosened. When the intake manifold and lifter valley cover, if equipped, are off of V-type engines, the technician has another opportunity to examine the interior of the engine. On some V-type engines, it is possible to see the condition of the cam at the bottom of the lifter valley. Step 4. The lifters can be removed at this time if they are causing the problem, or if the engine valve train is to be serviced. Step 5. Remove the cylinder head bolts, also called cap screws, following the reverse of the installation procedure. Loosening the fasteners at the ends of the cylinder head first, then working toward the center, helps reduce the chance of warpage to the cylinder head. Be sure to notice and mark the head bolt locations, as they are often different lengths, depending on their location in the head. Carefully lift the head from the block deck. If the head gasket is stuck, carefully pry the head to loosen the gasket. Use care not to scratch the block or head machine surfaces. The combustion chamber in the head and the top of the piston should be given a thorough visual examination. See Figure 28.8. Check the cylinder head and head gasket for signs of leakage. A normal combustion chamber is coated with a layer of hard, light-colored deposits. If the combustion chamber has been running too hot, the deposits will be very thin and white. Refer to Figure 28.6. Always use graded bolts, either grade 5 or 8 bolts, whenever mounting an engine to a stand. Refer to Figure 28.7. Keeping the pushrods and the lifters sorted by cylinder, including the spark plugs, is a wise way to proceed when disassembling the cylinder heads. Refer to Figure 28.8. Sometimes, after the cylinder head has been removed, the engine condition is discovered to be so major that the entire engine may need to be replaced, rather than overhauled. Tech tip. Disassembly is the reverse order of assembly. Cylinder heads often warp upward in the center. Loosening the center head bolts first will tend to increase the warp age, especially if the head is being removed to replace a head gasket because of overheating. Always follow the torque table backwards, starting with the highest number bolt and working toward the lowest number. In other words, always loosen fasteners starting at the end or outside of the component and work toward the inside or center of the component. Overhead camshaft, OHC, engine. Disassembly. Disassembling an overhead camshaft engine differs from a cam in block, or OHV, engine. Check service information for the specified disassembly procedure for the engine being serviced. Read, understand, and follow all safety notices and warnings included in the instructions to help avoid causing damage to parts or components during the disassembly process. The usual steps include: Step 1. Remove the intake and exhaust manifolds, if they have not already been removed, and bag and tag all fasteners. Step 2. Remove the crankshaft harmonic balancer pulley that will allow access to the timing chain or belt cover. Step 3. Remove the timing belt, or chain covers, and then the timing belts or chains. Step 4. With most overhead camshaft engines, the camshafts must be removed before removing the cylinder head due to location of the head bolts. Step 5. Remove the cylinder head by removing the cylinder head bolts in the opposite order of assembly. This means to loosen the outermost fasteners first, then work toward the center of the cylinder head. Step 6. Carefully lift the cylinder head from the block. Disassembly of the short block. Removing the oil pan. To remove the oil pan, turn the engine upside down. Note: some engine builders prefer to remove the oil pan before turning it upside down so the technician can see the oil pan deposits first. Deposits are a good indication of the condition and care taken of the engine. Heavy sludge indicates infrequent oil changes, hard carbon indicates overheating. The oil pump pickup screen should be checked to see how much plugging exists. Marking connecting rods and caps. The connecting rod caps should be marked, or numbered, so that they can be reassembled in exactly the same position. If the connecting rods are not marked from the factory, then they should be marked using a number stamp, electric pencil, or permanent marker. See Figure 28.9. Caution: some vehicle manufacturers warn not to use a punch or an electric pencil on powdered metal connection rods. Use only a permanent marker to label powdered metal rods. If in doubt as to the type of rod that is in the engine, use a marker to be safe. Removing the cylinder ridge. Before the pistons can be removed from the block, the ridge must be removed. Piston wear against the cylinder wall leaves an upper ridge, because the top ring does not travel all the way to the top of the cylinder. Ridge removal is necessary to avoid catching a ring on the ridge and breaking the piston. See Figure 28.10. Refer to Figure 28.9. These connecting rods were numbered from the factory. If they are not, then they should be marked. Refer to Figure 28.10. Most of the cylinder wear is on the top inch just below the cylinder ridge. This wear is due to the heat and combustion pressures that occur when the piston is near the top of the cylinder. Tech tip. Measure the cylinder bore before further disassembly. As soon as the cylinder head has been removed from the engine, take a measurement of the cylinder bore. This is done for the following reasons: to verify that the engine size is the same as specified by the vehicle identification number; to measure the bore and compare it to factory specifications, to help the technician determine if the cylinder is too worn to use or cannot be restored. The ridge is removed with a cutting tool that has a guide to help prevent accidental cutting below the ridge. See Figure 28.11. Piston removal. Removing the piston and rod assembly includes the following steps. Step 1. Rotate the engine until the piston that is to be removed is at bottom dead center, or BDC. Step 2. Remove connecting rod nuts from the rod so that the rod cap with its bearing half can be removed. Step 3. Fit the rod bolts with protectors to keep the bolt threads from damaging the crankshaft journals, and then carefully remove the piston and rod assemblies. Step 4. After removal of each piston, replace the rod cap and nuts to avoid losing or mismatching them. Refer to Figure 28.11. This ridge is being removed with one type of ridge reamer before the piston assemblies are removed from the engine. Rotating engine assemblies removal. Harmonic balancer removal. The next step after the water pump has been removed is to remove the crankshaft vibration damper, also called a harmonic balancer. The bolt and washer that hold the damper are removed. The damper should be removed only with a threaded puller. See Figure 28.12. If a hook-type puller is used around the edge of the damper, it may pull the damper ring from the hub. If this happens, the damper assembly will have to be replaced with a new assembly. With the damper assembly off, the timing cover can be removed, exposing the timing gear or timing chain. Examine these parts for excessive wear and looseness. See Figure 28.13. Bolted cam sprockets can be removed to free the timing chain. On some engines, this will require removal of the crankshaft gear at the same time. Pressed-on gears and sprockets are removed from the shaft only if they are faulty. They are removed after the camshaft is removed from the block. The camshaft thrust plate retaining screws are also removed, when they are used. Camshaft removal: the camshaft and balance shafts, if equipped, can be removed at this time, or they can be removed after the crankshaft is out. For best results, insert a long bolt into one of the camshaft threaded holes to serve as handles for removing, or installing, a camshaft. It must be carefully eased from the engine to avoid damaging the cam bearings or cam lobes. This is done most easily with the front of the engine pointing up. Bearing surfaces are soft and scratch easily, and the cam lobes are hard and can chip easily. Refer to Figure 28.12, puller being used to pull the vibration damper from the crankshaft. Refer to Figure 28.13, when the timing chain cover was removed, the broken timing gear explained why this GM 4.3-liter V6 engine stopped running. Refer to Figure 28.14, most engines, such as this Chevrolet V8 with 4-bolt main bearing caps, have arrows marked on the bearing caps that should point to the front of the engine. Crankshaft and main bearing removal: the main bearing caps should be checked for position markings before they are removed. If they are not marked, use steel number stamps to mark them, and also be sure to indicate which side of each main cap faces to the front of the engine. See Figure 28.14. They have been machined in place and will not fit perfectly in any other location. After marking, they can be removed to free the crankshaft. When the crankshaft is removed, the main bearing caps and bearings are reinstalled on the block to reduce the chance of damage to the caps. Refer to Figure 28.15. This small block Chevrolet V8 had water standing in the cylinders, causing a lot of rust, which was discovered as soon as the head was removed. Block inspection: after the pistons and crankshaft have been removed, remove all cups and plugs and carefully inspect the block for faults that could affect whether the engine can be rebuilt. See Figure 28.15. Further detailed inspection should be completed after the components have been cleaned. Cylinder head disassembly. OHV engine cylinder heads: after the heads are removed and placed on the bench, the valves can be removed. Caution: always wear safety glasses when working on a cylinder head. Valve springs can release quickly, causing valve parts to fly. To disassemble a cylinder head, perform the following steps. Step 1: tap the valve spring retainer with a brass hammer, hitting the retainer on an angle to break the taper of the valve keepers, or locks. Step 2: using a valve spring compressor, compress the valve spring far enough to expose the keepers. See Figure 28.17. Step 3: remove the two keepers using a magnet. Step 4: after the valve keepers have been removed, slowly release the compressor to remove and to free the valve retainer and spring. Step 5: the valve tip edge and keeper, or lock, area should be lightly filed or stoned to remove any burrs before sliding the valve from the head. Burrs will scratch the valve guide. Step 6: remove all valve stem seals and the metal spring seats that are used on aluminum heads. Step 7: when all valves are removed following the same procedure, carefully inspect the valve springs, retainers, keepers, or locks, guides, and seats. Tech tip: the wax trick. Before the engine block can be thoroughly cleaned, all oil gallery plugs must be removed. A popular trick of the trade for plug removal involves heating the plug, not the surrounding metal, with an oxyacetylene torch. The heat tends to expand the plug and make it tighter in the block. Do not overheat. As the plug is cooling, touch the plug with paraffin wax note, beeswax or candle wax may be used. See Figure 28.16. The wax will be drawn down around the threads of the plug by capillary attraction as the plug cools and contracts. After being allowed to cool, the plug is easily removed. Refer to Figure 28.16. A torch is used to heat gallery plugs. Paraffin wax is then applied and allowed to flow around the threads. This procedure results in easier removal of the plugs and other threaded fasteners that cannot otherwise be loosened. Figure 28:17. A valve spring compressor is used to compress the valve spring before removing the keepers, or locks. OHC engine cylinder heads. After the heads are removed and placed on the bench, the valves can be removed after the camshaft is removed. Often a special valve spring compressor is required to reach the valve retainers. Always read, understand, and follow all vehicle manufacturers' instructions. Tech tip. Mark it to be safe. Whenever you disassemble anything, it is always wise to mark the location of parts, bolts, hoses, and other items that could be incorrectly assembled. Remember, the first part removed will be the last part that is assembled. If you think you will remember where everything goes, forget it. It just does not happen in the real world. One popular trick is to use correction fluid to mark the location of parts before they are removed. Most of these products are alcohol or water-based, dry quickly, and usually contain a brush in the cap for easy use. Engine removal steps. Step 1. Before beginning work on removing the engine, mark and remove the hood and place it in a safe location. Step 2. For safety, remove the negative battery cable to avoid any possible electrical problems from occurring. Step 3. Drain the coolant and dispose of properly. Step 4. Disconnect all cooling system and heater hoses and remove the radiator. Step 5. Remove the accessory drive belts and set the alternator, power steering pump, and air conditioning compressor aside. Step 6. Remove the air intake system, including the air filter housing, as needed. Step 7. Remove the electrical connector from all sensors and label. Step 8. Disconnect the engine wiring harness connector at the bulkhead. Step 9. Safely hoist the vehicle and disconnect the exhaust system from the exhaust manifolds. Step 10. Mark and then remove the fasteners connecting the flex plate to the torque converter. Step 11. Lower the vehicle and remove the engine mount bolts and transaxle bell housing fasteners. Step 12. Secure the lifting chain to the engine hooks and carefully remove the engine from the vehicle. Review questions. Question 1. What are the differences between a minor and a major overhaul? Question 2. When should the factory installed lifting hooks be used? Question 3. Why should the cylinder bore be measured before continuing with an engine disassembly? Question 4. Why should the ridge that sometimes forms at the top of the cylinder be removed? Question 5. Why should the burrs often seen at the top of the valve stem be removed before removing the valves from the head? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. A short block includes the A. block, B. crankshaft and main bearings, C. pistons, rods, and rod bearings, D. all of the above. Question 2. Technician says that a minor overhaul can often be done with the engine remaining in the vehicle. Technician B says that a core is required for most remanufactured engines. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 3. When removing the engine only from a vehicle equipped with an automatic transmission, the torque converter normally A. stays mounted on the transmission. B. is removed and stays attached to the engine. C. must be drained. D. remains connected to the flex plate. Question 4. When removing cylinder heads, the fasteners should be removed in which order? A. the reverse order of tightening. B. the same order as the specified tightening sequence. C. any order. D. loosened slightly in the same order as the tightening sequence men and removed in any order. Question 5. With the rocker cover, or valve cover, removed, the technician can inspect all items except A. combustion chamber deposits. B. rocker arms and valve spring. C. camshaft, overhead camshaft engine only. D. valve stems and pushrods, overhead valve engines only. 6. What needs to be removed before the valves can be removed from the cylinder head? A. the valve keepers. B. the camshaft if OHV engine. C. the cylinder head from the block. D. both A and C. Question 7. After the oil pan is removed, the technician should inspect A. the oil pump and pickup screen. B. to make certain that all rod and main bearings are numbered or marked. C. the valve lifters, R. tappets, for wear. D. both A and B. Question 8. The ridge at the top of the cylinder. A. Is caused by the rings that do not travel all the way to top of the cylinder. B. Represents a failure of the top piston ring to correctly seal against the cylinder wall. C. Should not be removed before removing pistons except when reboring the cylinders. D. Means that a crankshaft with an incorrect stroke was installed in the engine. Question 9. Before the timing chain can be inspected and removed, the blank must be removed. A. Valve cover. B. Vibration damper. C. Cylinder heads. D. Intake manifold on V-type engines only. Question 10. Before the valves are removed from the cylinder head, what operations need to be completed? A. Remove valve keepers, or locks. B. Remove cylinder heads from the engine. C. Remove burrs from the stem of the valves. D. All of the above. End of chapter 28.